God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. We're going to be talking a lot about the Iranian attack on Israel today. That's big news. And we're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to also talk about, a lot of the our woke military. We're not our readiness, our preparedness. And Also, we're going to touch upon illegal migration and election fraud and some other things like that. So we're going to get started, and we have a bunch of audio clips and things to share with you. But before we do get started, the founder of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, 86 years old, has reportedly been hospitalized. He's in serious condition. Further details surrounding his hospitalization remain unconfirmed at this time. Wow. You know, I can't say enough bad things about Klaus Schwab. He is evil personified, and it would be great to have him no longer at the helm of the World Economic Forum, although George Soros and George has a son, and Klaus Schwab has advisors that are sicker than he is. So it's probably not likely to change that much. He got the WHO with 100, they're going to have a vote May 2024 with regard to signing off sovereignty to, I think it's like 174 nations for pandemic response, which is really just another ruse. It's the same playbook that ESG plays with climate and DEI plays with slave labor. There, it's all about slave labor, by the way. The open borders is about slave labor. And if you can get election fraud out of it, that's great too, is what the Democrats will say. But for the most part, it's all about, the open borders in general is just a way to broaden the tax base. But the tax, we're going to find out today, it's part of this tax base is becoming a bit of a slush fund for corruption, because the way illegals get taxed and the way citizens get taxed are two different things, and they go into different funds, and one's more accountable than the other, and we have rigged elections as a result of it. And a lot of politicians are getting their palms greased by happy corporations. And those happy corporations are also financing the narrative that explains away why it is that the CNN, MSNBC, and even Fox News lie to us and just spew out pure propaganda. They're being paid off by either pharmaceutical ads, which are every single time you turn on the TV, you see a pharmaceutical ad. I remember when there was a day when that was not even legal, that pharmacies, pharmaceutical drugs, were not allowed to advertise. Just like you're not allowed to advertise cigarettes today, or you're not, I don't see a lot of other kinds of things like that advertised. But, you know, it used to be you couldn't advertise pharmacy, pharmaceutical drugs. And then now it's just about every other ad you ever see. And that's not for any other reason. I mean, they're not, half the time, whatever they're selling, you can't even ask your doctor about it. You might be able to bring it up, but for the most part, they're not selling to the consumer. They're selling to the medical professionals. But really what they're doing is they're just taking the money that the government grants them, and then they're financing and lining the pockets with money, the media, so that they expound upon a media narrative. You could watch Saturday Night Live, for example, and it's always bashing Trump, and it's never bashing Biden. And the reason why that is so is because the media, it's not just news, but news is where the politics begins and ends. But not quite, because you got the late-night talk shows. 100% of them are liberal. You got all the comedy. 100% of them are liberal. How does that happen? There's not one conservative director in Hollywood that can put out a show and produce it? No, they can't. Because the producers are getting their money from, again, government contractors. Who's a government contractor? Like pharmaceutical companies during COVID were government contractors, right? Pfizer, Moderna. So what I'm saying is that this money always finds a way to the mockingbird media, whether it's the news anchors or whether it's a sitcom or whether it's a sketch comedy like Saturday Night Live or anything else in between. This is why they hate Twitter. They control 100% of what you hear and see, and you just have to have a bigger mind in order to think outside the box, which is something I think I've done my whole life. That's my one good characteristic, is I think outside of the box. I don't get pigeonholed into groupthink. That's why I was never a big fan of fraternities and things like that, where you are put into groups. I've always enjoyed individuality, and that's just a little bit about me, but I think that's why I like wrestling. You know, personal accountability. You can't blame it on anybody else but yourself for your mistakes or your defeats. And your wins, you can take credit for those too. So yeah, just wanted to report that Klaus Schwab is in the hospital. Donald Trump is about to go to court today, and he says just for you, he's putting it all on the line. He says if they incarcerate him, if they put him in jail for violating a gag order, and he might get hit with that today because he violated the gag order, and he says, I'm going to violate the gag order. I dare Judge Merchant, whose daughter is a political hack and a slime bag. They're political hacks. And this corrupt justice system that we have in America. So Donald Trump's going to go into New York for this slimy sleazeball hush case, which involved Stormy Daniels, which, I mean, I think was brought up in 2015, 16. I mean, how long do these cases have to go on, right? For some sleazy hooker that basically got paid off by Michael Cohen's own personal account, the case should be over. This isn't even a case. And yet he's told he's not allowed to talk about the daughter. He's not allowed to talk about the judge. He's not allowed to talk about their political leanings, their biases, nothing. So he violated that gag order. And he says, you know what? You put me in jail, I'll become the next Nelson Mandela. Go ahead, put me in jail. I'll run my campaign from jail. And that's kind of crazy. So just 4 years ago, Donald Trump writes in Truth, I was a very popular and successful president of the United States, getting more votes than any sitting president in history. Monday morning, I'll be in criminal court before a totally conflicted judge, a corrupt prosecutor, a legal system in chaos, a state being overrun by violent crime and corruption, and crooked Joe Biden's henchmen rigging the system against his political opponent, which is me. I will be fighting for myself, but much more importantly, I will be fighting for our country. Election interference like this has never happened in the USA before, and hopefully will never happen again. We are now a nation in serious decline, a failing nation, but we will soon be a great nation again. November 5th will be the most important day in the history of the United States. MAGA 2024, see you tomorrow. So that's, he wrote that yesterday, so that was basically him. Now, page three of that, he says, now we have Merchant, who is not allowing me to talk, thereby violating the law and Constitution all at once. It is so bad that he is trying to get away with how was he even chosen for this case? I heard he fought like hell to get it, and all the rest of them also. If this partisan hack wants to put me in the clink for speaking the open and obvious truth, I will gladly become a modern-day Nelson Mandela. It will be great, my great honor. We have to save our country from these political operatives masquerading as prosecutors and judges, and I am willing to sacrifice my freedom for the worthy cause, that worthy cause. We are a falling nation, but on November 5th, we will become a great nation again. Make America great again. So he truthed that out. And here, Trump says this. Trump says this.
And a liberal Fordham University law professor writing in the New York Times called the case a disaster, a legal embarrassment, and a setback to the rule of law and order, and a really bad thing for New York. And businesses aren't going to move into New York because of what they're doing. Their legal system is shot. It's a joke all over the world. But when I walk into that courtroom, I know I will have the love of 200 million Americans behind me, and I will be fighting for the... That's right. That's right. And I will be fighting for the freedom of 325 million Americans. And a liberal Fordham...
So that was at Schnecksville, PA. I'm a PA guy, and... never heard of that town, but Schnecksville. So, yeah, in PA. And I believe that's true. He's so right. He's so in touch. You want to know someone who's not in touch? Someone who's not in touch is when Joe Biden said January 13th, 2020, Donald Trump has no strategy when it comes to Iran, no endgame. The only way out of his self-made crisis is through diplomacy, clear-eyed, hard-nosed diplomacy, grounded in strategy that's not about one-off decisions or one-upsmanship. I said, moron Joe Biden said this. And then this one. He said this October 28th, 2019, Joe Biden tweets out. Well, somebody tweeted it out for him. Donald Trump has no strategy for securing our nation against terrorist threats. He has no strategy for anything. Every day that he directs American national security is a dangerous day for the United States. Let's see. He pulled us out. He screwed up Afghanistan. He allowed Russia to invade Ukraine. And now Iran is bombing the crap out of Israel. I said this, it's sort of like a a fireman, a fire chief, paying, you know, relieving the sanctions and paying off the debts of an arsonist. And then the arsonist comes around and turns around and sets fire to the forest. And then they have to pay to put the forest out. So now we're going to have funding, emergency funding today. It's probably going to be bundled in with Ukraine money laundering money and money to Taiwan, which is, again, money laundering money, and Israel. It's all about military. Anytime you print money and inject it into a war zone, that's because they want to build something like missiles, guns, weapons, bullets, tanks. But somebody's going to profit from that. And then they're going to take that profit and they're going to spend it in the economy. And it's going to stimulate the economy. I mean, what the heck is the open borders for? Even if it's cheap labor, it's still labor at a chicken farm or a beef packing plant or wherever it is that nobody wants to work at. These illegals are going to fill that shortage on labor. And they're going to broaden the tax base by paying some sort of taxes, not the same as a citizen, but different. Goes into a slush fund. But still, they say it's designed to help out Social Security. Well, we didn't mess up our country to the point over the last 20 years. And if we did the right thing by securing our border and cultivating family and cultivating Christianity and cultivating this. But no, the liberals, they wanted to actually suggest kick the family, the nature of family in the teeth, because the nature of family was conservative. They wanted a more liberal. They wanted to endorse same-sex marriages. They wanted to endorse same-sex relationships or transvestites. And the reason why they wanted to do it is because they can't reproduce. They wanted to shrink the world's population. The globalists want to shrink the world's population. Then they want to cry. They will literally want to cry about how we're overpopulated. If we're overpopulated, there shouldn't be a job shortage. I mean, a labor shortage. But we have this latte-drinking, overeducated population that doesn't want to get their hands dirty. They don't want to do labor. They all think they're entitled. It's a culture. It's what's wrong with our culture. And if we just would get back to embracing Christianity and community and personal responsibility and honoring work and honoring police and securing our borders and instilling a strong military instead of showing weakness like we have, that's causing a lot of these other rogue nations to test us. And we're not up for the test. If you look at our military, it's riddled with transvestites and wokeism. So Biden can say that all he wants, but the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump tweeted this in 2018. He says, to Iranian President Rouhani, never ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the likes of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious. And then he took out not only al-Baghdadi, which was the head of ISIS, the liberals financed ISIS, and the rhinos did too, like Lindsey Graham. They treated the ISIS rebels, the ISIS terrorists, like mercenary groups to protect the oil fields out of Iraq. And when Iraq didn't have any electricity, they would allow Iran to provide electricity to Iraq, which gave Iran billions of dollars. And that's where the sanctions were in. They relieved the sanctions. John Kerry did it. Obama did it. JCPOA did it. And so did Biden do it. And now Admiral Kirby, lying Kirby, wants to lie through his teeth about how money's not fungible. Like, oh, there are strings attached. You only can buy humanitarian aid. Well, if I give you food stamps and say you can't buy liquor, with it. And you go to the store and you buy lettuce and tomatoes and potato chips or whatever and soda. That's still going to be stuff that you wanted to consume. And then you're going to take your money that you saved from that transaction, because you didn't spend any of your own money, and you're going to go to the liquor store and buy a pint of whatever, right? I mean, the point is that money is fungible, and Kirby doesn't get that. He's too stupid. So anyway, Trump was tough on Iran, and that was a great thing. I mean, take a listen to this, this exchange here.
This whole...
No, not this one. I got one. I got it coming. Let's see. All right. Well, I'll get to it. I actually wanted to play this, too. President Trump criticized Joe Biden for giving Iran $6 billion. Let's take a listen to this.
Crooked Joe Biden just agreed to pay a $6 billion ransom to the Iranian dictatorship in exchange for hostages. This is yet another Biden surrender and a further blistering humiliation
giving
of the
money
United
to an
States
arsonist.
Of America to the world stage. But even worse...
No, I meant to say giving matches to an arsonist, right? Giving $6 billion to Iran and expecting that they're not going to buy missiles that are going to bomb the crap out of Israel is just stupid. It's like giving an arsonist a blowtorch and saying, good luck with that. Then when the fires start, you're going to have to finance putting out the fires too. How dumb are we? How dumb are the liberal leadership? This never happened under Trump. We had no wars under Trump. We had no one testing us under Trump. Trump actually made friends with Little Rocket Man, detente, peace. And also, he embraced the idea of bringing Russia into G7 and making it a G8. That would have actually given us leverage that we never had over Russia. And they would not have then aligned themselves with China and Iran. But now they've become a monstrous enemy with BRICS and the alliance that they've created, that we've cultivated, that we pushed them into through the Ukraine war. Our foreign policy knows no bounds when it comes to stupidity. Whether it's Victoria Nuland and Jeffrey Pyatt manipulating elections in 2014 in Ukraine, or the escalation and aggression of NATO, or the paying off of ISIS terrorists in the Middle East to propagate black market oil running out of Iraq, from Iraq into Africa in exchange for gold and precious minerals and lithium and nickel for batteries and electric vehicles, but also running into Europe for cheaper oil to in the name of combating against Russian profiteering with their Nord Stream pipelines, blowing up the port Nord Stream pipelines. How's that going to cause oil prices to go down? Not being energy independent, how's that going to help us avoid inflation? It's an attack on the middle class. All the spending we're doing on senseless wars, the oil prices, not being energy independent, it's an attack on the middle class around the world. But we're going to listen to this one more time.
Pay a $6 billion ransom to the Iranian dictatorship in exchange for hostages. This is yet another Biden surrender and a further blistering humiliation of the United States of America to the world stage. But even worse, this decision will be extremely deadly. Biden is giving $6 billion to the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. Just as when Obama sent the Iranian regime pallets of cash for hostages in the dark of night, remember? Plane loads of cash. Biden's ransom payment will be immediately used to stoke violence, bloodshed, and mayhem throughout the Middle East and all around the world, costing countless innocent lives. It's also guaranteed that the fanatical Iranian regime will use this money to advance their nuclear weapons program, putting Israel, the United States, and the entire world in very grave peril. They are reportedly just weeks away from a nuclear bomb, something which would have never happened under the Trump administration. Tragically, Biden's ransom payments also make it dramatically more likely that even more Americans will be held captive in the future, because Biden has shown that he will pay gargantuan sums of money, meaning the kidnappers turn a massive profit. They're making money hand over fist. In other words, Biden has put a bounty on the head of every American citizen abroad. Under my leadership, we brought home more than 50 hostages from all over the world, and we never paid ransom money to do it. Not at all. We did it with diplomacy, and we did it through strength. And we will do it again when we are reelected as President of the United States. Our country is failing. We are a failing nation. We will turn it around and we will make America great again. Thank you.
All right. Do you want to know when he said that? He said that August 17th, 2023. See, Trump doesn't exploit or react to the obvious like Biden does. Biden reacts because he can't think on his own. They have no strategy. They have no foresight. So they react to an action that Trump did. And they're always wrong, by the way. They're always wrong. And like those tweets I read to you earlier. But when you take a listen to this, after Trump approved taking out, that was August 17th, 2023. He predicted that the $6 billion would result in what we're experiencing now. But after Trump approved taking out Soleimani, Biden hurried to give his Trump is going to start World War III with Iran. I remember many conservatives did the same thing. They said the same thing. They were all wrong. Take a listen.
A president who says he wants to end endless wars in the Middle East is bringing us dangerously close to starting a brand new one. Donald Trump, short-sighted America First dogmatism has come home to roost. President Trump has no strategy here, it seems to me. He has no end game. And here's the hardest truth of all. His constant mistakes and poor decision-making have left us, the United States, with a severely limited slate of options. We are alone now. We're alone and we'll have to bear the cost of Donald Trump's folly. He should stop tweeting so he doesn't box us in with these threats that such that only options left for Iran are increasingly damaging strikes and counterstrikes. No one wants war, but it's going to take hard work to make sure we don't end up there by accident. Democracy runs on accountability, and nowhere is it more important than the power to make war and bring peace. You're required to work with Congress, Mr. President. You're required to abide by the War Powers Resolution, Mr. President, and you cannot pursue war with Iran without consent and authority from Congress.
See, he's best friends with John Kerry. John Kerry was good friends with Zarif. And between Obama, Biden, and John Kerry, who was Secretary of the State at the time, they put forth the JCPOA, which had the Iranian leadership dancing in the streets. And they were nothing but a gift to Iran. And they were nothing but a gift to Hamas. And they were nothing but a gift to the Muslim Brotherhood and to ISIS and to all the anti-Israel forces in the region. That's what Obama was about. That's what Biden's about. That's what the liberals and the left wing and the Democrat Party is about. That's what they're all about. They're all foolish. They're all super foolish. And it's even the liberals in Israel that are causing the biggest problems, because it was the liberals in Israel that conspired with Hamas to wage an attack on their own soil. Just like Biden opened the borders and waged an attack on our middle class with drugs, election fraud, and stealing our jobs and financing their way of life, giving them hotel rooms and apartments and slush fund money. giving them health care, giving them the education, giving them free flights, giving them all this money, these debit cards. They're doing that, and it's killing us. It's killing the middle class of America with inflation, because when you inject cash into an economy, you're creating pressure on supply. And with 20 million new people, all illegals, given government money, they're buying their food somewhere. They're buying their products somewhere. They're buying stuff. It's impacting the real estate market. It's impacting everything that we buy at the store. And that 3.5% CPI index is a crumb compared to the reality. When you take a look at what it costs today and compare it to when Trump was in office with regard to inflation, eggs and milk and other things, you're going to find that the inflation's more like 17-18%. And we'll go ahead and take a quick call really quick. We've got to make this really short, but go ahead.
Okay. I'll ask you real quick. Who do you think is really in charge right now, pulling the strings?
Oh, Obama. It's Obama and his crew.
No, but I mean higher than that. I mean, do you think we're back to the British crown again?
Yeah, I think that we're in a globalist world, and the globalist world is financed by very wealthy oligarchs. You could say the word Rothschilds all you want, and that's probably true. But what I'm saying is it's bigger than that. It's not just the Rothschilds. It's not just the Rockefellers, or it's not just the super elite. It's
all of them together.
Yeah, right. They all are like-minded. What Klaus Schwab has been working on since the 70s. And now he's in the hospital. Who knows what's going to happen there? But
good. I hope he drops dead tomorrow.
Well, I don't want to say that, but you know, you shouldn't wish that on anybody.
I said it for you. No, okay. They're impeding on our lives and our freedoms, and it's time to stop being nice and stop worrying about political correctness and all this other mumbo jumbo. Because we've got to start taking our lives back.
Absolutely.
This corporation for profit. That's what it is. They just stay up late at night and figure out how to take more money from.
Well, what they've done is they've put governors on up and comers. Like, for example, you know, I always think I like to think of the Gilded Age, and I like to think about, like, you know, that there was this story about the Vanderbilts and the Astors, and the Astors were old money and the Vanderbilts were sort of like new money, right? And the Vanderbilts weren't welcome into the Club of 400. And that whole Gilded Age thing. And if you look at the politics, the super elite don't want the super wealthy, whether it's LeBron James or somebody else, right, that's really, really rich, you know, to hobnob and dine with them, right? And so they want to somehow separate and keep everybody in a box. So they start with the race, and they start with ESG, environmental social governance. They start with DEI. They start with taxation. And they start with all these rules and regulations that prevent people from growth. Because we can't no longer manufacture in the United States without penalty. But you can in China. And so what they're saying is we have a monopoly on China. But we want to prevent innovators to manufacture in the United States. We want to prevent that. And that's what they're doing. They have all these blockades and hurdles in the way of the middle class rising up to the super elite. They're putting us in a corral, into a box, to protect their standing. And then they want to kill off the population. It's nothing for Boris Johnson's father to say that he wants to. He would like to see England, the United Kingdom, reduced from 70 million to 15 million. Well, but he's saying that so cavalierly, like he knows he's the chosen one. He's never going to be on the cutting block there, right? So he's going to basically not have to share his world with, you know, crap or homelessness or illegals or people that can't speak his language, right?
Well, you know, I'm onto what you're saying. Lots of diversions to keep you from thinking about the things you should be thinking about.
Yep. We're dealing with a lot of challenges today that we shouldn't even have to deal with. There should be a lot more harmony in the world right now. It's 2024, and so far it seems like no one's ever figured out simplicity. You know, we've made our world so much more complicated. And just like Jonathan Gruber said, remember when he talked about Obamacare, Jonathan Gruber, the MIT economist? He said, we tortured the bill. We made it more complicated. We made it so complicated that the average voter couldn't possibly understand it. So we tortured the bill.
What do they call that?
He said, we depended on the stupidity of the American voter. That's exactly the words he said. And, you know, he said they tortured it, made it so complicated that nobody could really figure it out. You just have to trust us. And that's exactly what we're talking about right here, this chaos in the world. We're making the whole concept of binary sex, male or female, complicated. Why do you think they're doing that? Because they're attacked on Christianity and everything else.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, it's National Grilled Cheese Day. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you. All right. Take care. It's National Grilled Cheese Day, and it's also Tax Day. Wow. Okay. Well, let's take a listen to some of this dialogue here. Let's take a listen to this. This is a little bit of Maria Bartiromo that I heard this morning.
The White House insists that waiving sanctions for Iran did not give them the resources for this attack, even though the administration just before signed a $10 billion sanctions waiver that gave Iraq the ability to buy Iranian electricity.
Due to a sanctions relief program that the Trump administration put in place, can only be used for humanitarian goods. It doesn't go to the regime. And the idea that the regime was somehow felt like they were freed up to support these proxies because of that, it just doesn't comport with the facts.
While the White House insists that Iran can only use the cash for food and medicine for their people, Republicans are skeptical that President Biden can guarantee that Iran won't exploit this relief to fund their terrorist activities. While the White House is brushing off accusations that easing sanctions emboldened Iran, they're urging Congress to pass the $95 billion National Security Supplemental ASAP. That includes funding for Ukraine, but also $14 billion for Israel. The president held a call with congressional leadership yesterday to tell them to get it done. He also held a call with Israel's Bibi Netanyahu following the attack. And on that call, he told him not to strike back against Iran and that if they do, the U.S. won't support it.
Iran knows it cannot beat Israel militarily. But what it does aspire to do is make Israel an impossible place to live and a place no one wants to visit. What I don't understand is why Joe Biden and the administration would leak to the media the contents of a conversation in which he tells Netanyahu he doesn't think Netanyahu should respond at all.
That's foolish, and that's political. That's to play to his liberal base, right? And they're not going to stand with Israel, even though they're bombing the crap out of Israel. Israel's not allowed to fight back. Well, that's just not even going to happen. Israel is going to fight back.
Is the continuing part of this public game that they are playing, which frankly encourages Iran and Hezbollah.
So Maria, Biden is saying don't hit back to Israel, but he also said don't to Iran before they fired off 200 drones and missiles at Israel, and they did. Maria?
Yeah, that's right. The don't go over well for sure. Hillary, thank you. Hillary Vaughn on Capitol Hill this morning. Joining me right now is retired.
Yeah, so the don't is it such a joke? We're going to hopefully get to hear that. But here, someone writes this. Good morning, everyone. Biden was sold to the American people, not as an elderly man with poor memory, but as the leader who would bring peace and order to the world, rebuild U.S. ties with the world, bring back U.S. troops from Afghanistan, end all wars, and show that America was back after Trump. But now the world is in turmoil under his leadership and on the brink of a major international conflict that could snowball into World War III with millions of people dying to enrich the military-industrial complex. He has also united U.S. adversaries, including China and Russia, and the Arab world against the United States. In one word, kindly describe 81-year-old President Joe Biden. Wow. So this is what Joe Biden said. Let's take a listen.
What is your message to Iran in this moment?
Don't. I have one word. Don't.
To any actor, state or
Anthony
non-state,
Blinken,
trying to take advantage of this crisis to attack Israel. Don't.
We have just one word. Don't.
Lloyd Austin.
Don't. Oh, God. Give me a break. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo reacted on X, writing this: so much for don't. When your Secretary of State declares near moral equivalence between good, our ally Israel, and evil, the Islamic Republic, you get bad guys wreaking destruction, General. Your reaction.
Well, Maria, the word don't is not deterrence. And in military parlance, military leaders, we never want to see anybody take options off the table. You never telegraph to your adversary, your enemy, what you will or won't do. And one of the reasons Iran is attacking Israel is the Ayatollahs don't believe they have anything at risk. And so we need to change that calculation.
And we won't, because we can't. You know, we were led by a bunch of military leaders that are focused more on transvestites and wokeism. I said, relieving Iranian sanctions and unfreezing billions of dollars without contractual guarantees for peace and against aggression, as Biden did, is like a fire chief giving a known arsonist a blowtorch. The U.S. has paid the arsonists and now is paying to help put out the fires. We are so stupid. Let's take a listen to this.
Are you expecting a response from Israel to Iran?
Absolutely. And I think that there should be. There must be. Joe Biden doesn't have any red lines. They get crossed. The Israelis do have red lines. And a kinetic attack by Iran into Israel was a red line that must be answered. I think Israel will act alone here, and they will consider and should consider a strong response that could target anything from Iranian oil infrastructure, Iranian military installations, Iranian leadership, or perhaps Iranians' nuclear facilities and nuclear program.
General, you just...
Yeah, so that was pretty good stuff right there. That's John Ratcliffe. Here's John Kirby lying through his teeth. Let's take a listen.
Is it not fair to say, though, that there have been moves by this administration that have opened up cash and other opportunities for them, which we know are fungible in ways that are not helping the Iranian people, but are benefiting the elites and people there who chant death to America and death to Israel.
You and I have had this fungibility argument before. I obviously take a different issue or take an issue with that characterization. The sanctions relief that has come about, or it's not even sanctions relief, but the additional funds that have been made available to Iran due to a sanctions relief program that the Trump administration put in place can only be used for humanitarian goods. It doesn't go to the regime. And the idea that the regime was somehow felt like they were freed up to support these proxies because of that, it just doesn't comport with the facts. But they have been supporting these proxies for many, many years.
And it comports with their language, though, saying we will use this money in the way that we want to use it.
They can't.
Is it not fair to
say? They can. If I give you money and say, here's your debit card, you can go ahead and buy groceries, milk and eggs, but you can't buy things like alcohol or marijuana. And then you go and use that for milk and eggs. The money that you would have spent on milk and eggs is now still in your pocket. What are you going to do with that? Anything you want. Right, you can go and buy drugs and alcohol, right? So, I mean, you know, it's just as simple as that. Following Obama's $1.7 billion payment to Iran, the Islamic Republic began a massive arms buildup. Today, Iran was the largest inventory of deadly cruise missiles, has the largest inventory of deadly cruise missiles in the Middle East, 5,000 plus. Each could reach Israel in 2 hours. Cruise missiles. So reporting for duty, born to follow, and we got rainbow flags on our army helmets. That's a meme. Here you got, our military has been weakened by the woke agenda. It's humiliating and unbelievable. It's a slap in the face to every American soldier who has served our country. Let's take a listen to this this person in a military uniform, fatigue uniform, giving a lecture.
I'm going to focus a little bit more today on my story and that of transgender service members, and how and why does it matter to us as a military? Why is it not a negative? We as leaders use it to enhance mission accomplishment. I'm going to focus.
So it's all about inclusion for them. That's what we're focused on. NPR's new CEO, Catherine Marr, reminder, our taxes fund her salary. She's wearing a Biden for president hat. This is the new NPR CEO, and she's wearing a stupid mask. All right, here's General Milley. General Milley, right? Remember this?
And I want to understand white rage, and I'm white, and I want to understand it. So what is it that caused thousands of people
general.
To assault this building and try to overturn
Mark
the Constitution
Milley.
Of the United States of America? What caused that? I want to find that out. I want to maintain an open mind here, and I do
that,
want to
dummy.
Analyze it. It's important that we understand that, because our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Guardians, they come from the American people. So it is important that the leaders, now and in the future, do understand it. I've read Mao Zedong. I've read Karl Marx. I've read Lenin. That
I'm
doesn't
sure
make
he
me
has
communist.
So
what is wrong
Marx and Lenin.
With understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend? And I want to.
Yeah, I want to learn about white supremacy.
I understand white rage.
Yeah, white rage. There's no. Yeah, look at all the beatings on the streets. They got a. It's trending all over the place. You know, people are pushing old lady. It's not white rage, trust me. It's the opposite of white rage, if you get my drift, which is going on in society. But watch out, Iran. Watch out, Russia. Watch out, China. Watch out, North Korea. Our generals study white supremacy, right? It's a joke. Here's a Heritage Foundation put this female officer talking about this problem in our military.
Since January of this year, more than 400 anti-LGBTQ plus laws have been introduced at the state level. That number is rising and demonstrates a trend that could be dangerous for service members, their families, and the readiness of the force as a whole. When I look at potential candidates, say for squadron command, I strive to match the right person to the right job. I consider their job performance and relevant experience first. However, I also look at their personal circumstances, and their family is also an important factor. If a good match for a job does not feel safe being themselves and performing at their highest potential at a given location, or if their family could be denied critical health care due to the laws in that state, I am compelled to consider a different candidate and perhaps less qualified. Those barriers are a threat to our readiness, and they have a direct correlation to the resiliency and well-being of our most important operational advantage, our people.
I think that what the point that they're making is our government is more interested in woke indoctrination than military readiness. Because of the leftist poison taking over, like this lieutenant general admitting that they sacrifice qualification for queerness. Wow. And then you got this queer here. It's another tranny. The USA in a admiral's or a lieutenant general's outfit. The USA has become the laughingstock of the world. Let's take a listen.
All too often, I hear leaders talk about providing everyone with dignity and respect like it's an aspirational goal. That's not good enough. Dignity and respect is the bare minimum. It's the floor of where we can be. We must set our sights higher and focus on intentional inclusivity, because there are still far too many people out there, not just LGBTQ individuals, that feel marginalized, shut out, or discriminated against. So for all of you out there, I ask you to set out your symbols of pride, share your pronouns in your email, particularly if you're a person who doesn't think they need to. Initiate difficult conversations about racial and gender barriers, and share a bit of your vulnerability in a way that draws others in. You all have the power to take intentionally inclusive actions to ensure the multiple perspectives that we know make us stronger as we devise winning warfighting strategies get heard.
So the officer here is like a high-ranking officer. dressed up in a woman's outfit, woman's uniform, wearing earrings. And he's giving a lecture. It's a he, but dressed up like a she in our military. We're so ready for World War III, and then they got all these different outfits on. It's just memes. It's our military's become like a complete and total and utter joke. Men dressed up in skirts and in our military uniforms. That combined with pics like this may cause the China CCP to lay off half their military, as they won't be needed. It's crazy. How compliant do you think these military trannies are when they get so offended by mispronouncing their pronouns? So it's just, it's become a real joke. All right, so there's so many things I want to play today. I'm going to go ahead and play the opening of this Victor Davis Hanson. Before I do, here's Obama speaking to an undocumented group prior to the 2020 election, where he tells them they are entitled to vote and need not worry about consequences if caught voting illegally. Well, here it is. Well, no, you know what? I'm not gonna play that. I'm gonna save that for tomorrow. I have really good election fraud stuff that I've gathered and collected over the weekend that I'm gonna put together. I want to play the opening of this particular piece here.
This whole thing is, it's, you can see what's mounting, all of this. The new critical race theory, the critical legal theory, the George Soros prosecutors, the politicalization of the election, getting the president, the presidential nominee off the ballot, two standards of justice for Biden and Donald Trump vis-a-vis Jack Smith's investigation. The destruction of our downtowns in Minneapolis, Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, Washington, the soaring crime rate that nobody wants to talk about, the open border, 8 million people. It's a civilization in free fall. And I wrote a column this week about it, and I quoted the proem to Livy's Monumental History of Rome, and he said, when you know the problem, I'm paraphrasing, but when you know the problem and you know what has to be done, but you can't do it because of the social disdain or odium or impediments, then the society collapses. We know we have to close the border. We know we have to tell people who came here illegally to go back where they came and apply legally. But we know that would be a monumental task. We know we have to put people in jail who hit people, steal, carjack, but we know that our prisons would fill up again, and we know what that would be like as far as the left. We know what the homeless problem has to be solved. We have to build mental institutions. We have to build humane areas where they can be transported with shelter, medical care away from the downtown. But we know that would require some coercion to put them on buses and get them help. And we can't do that. So we're paralyzed. And we think, you know what? I know it's not healthy that these beautiful cities have excrement on the sidewalk or that people are assaulted by homeless people, but I can handle it. I just can't handle being told that I'm a fascist or I'm mean. And when you get to that stasis, and it's very, the veneer of civilization is very, very thin. Once you strip off that thin layer of civilization, you get human nature in the raw, and it's not a pretty sight. As you see at Market Street in San Francisco, or you see with a smash and grab in Washington, or you see a Saturday night in the inner city of Chicago, or you see Gavin Newsom or the Biden family just free to do whatever they want and flaunt the law. I think everybody got to realize something about the left. This is a bunch of very, very, very wealthy people who are very well connected. In our California version, it is Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Brown, Gavin Newsom. These people were responsible for the state. They're all very wealthy. They're all from political families. They all know each other, and they're all hard left with one asterisk. The consequences of their politics never applied to them or their friends.
And that's it. That's the they're unbridled terrorists. Well, listen, we're at the end of the show. I want to thank everybody for listening in to the Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Find out how we're advancing America First policies to make America great again. This show is a big part of that. We like to keep it commercial free. Make a donation over at MAGAPAC if you'd like to do so. And also use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. We'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye, buddy.